We had an awesome time in, I don't know what some countries, I don't even, it's all a blur, but it's it was great. And thanks for praying. And we had a lot of messages on what it means to have a personal walk with God, how in Exodus 28, the names of the children of Jacob are on his breastplate and on his shoulders. And imagine that Jesus came just for Thomas after 8 days, just to help his doubt become real certainty of faith. So let's stand and let's pray, maybe be led as the Spirit guides you to someone to pray with, and prepare for the message. You can stand. Father, thank you. We can personally pray to God. Thank you for corporate prayer and personal prayer, prayer in the body and prayer with one another. Thank you that you hear our prayers. You said, call upon me and I will answer. Not I might answer, not I could answer, but I will answer and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Thank you. Prayer released Peter from his prison cell. And they didn't even know that their prayers were effective, and he knocked on the door. Prayer delivered a jailer. Prayer had a victory in Isaiah 36 and 37. They prayed, spread it before the Lord and the Assyrian army. Prayer. Thank you that we can speak to God. We have the privilege of a throne of grace to get grace to help in time of need, mercy and grace. Thank you. Pray for our country. God, just touch and move. Conversions. Miraculous intervention. They prayed in Acts 4 and the house was shaken. The word of God was preached. Jerusalem was changed. Thank you. We pray for the sick today. Heal. Unconverted loved ones, heal. Change. Convert. Translate. Financial situations. God, move mightily. Reconciliations. Relationships. Marriage, family. Personal growth, God, we ask. Help us to grow, God. To knowing you. There is no greater thing. Pray for the persecuted church today, God. So many people that are alone, maybe in prison cells. But God remembers them, never forgets. God is not unrighteous to forget his work of faith and labor of love. Touch people today, God. Pray for our convention. Graduation, Grace Hour, Missions Banquet. Father, thank you.
Okay, you may be seated. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Yeah, so great to have Pastor Shabelli back from a whirlwind tour. And he'll be speaking tonight. And I go to, with a small group, we go to India this afternoon, tonight. Our plane's at 4:15 this afternoon, so we're busy today. And thanks for your prayers. And then also with the missions banquet, which is in May, just to share that we have shifted the banquet from being a grace hour banquet to being a missions banquet. And it's also a fundraiser. And whether you go to the banquet or not, and we welcome you all to come to the banquet, but this year we're going to start at the banquet what we call Faith Promise. And I want to explain that to you a little bit this morning. Here is the thought, and it is, do you believe that God is behind missions, evangelizing people, winning them to Christ, saving them, discipling them, and putting them in churches? Do you believe that? This is the first question. I do. I know you do too, but to just think about it in a fresh way. God is in that work. God wants missionaries in the field. God would like to send teams and start churches and train people. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? This is the question. So let's pretend we were in Vietnam right now, and that we lived in Vietnam and we were Vietnamese people, or Cambodians, or actually any people. We're Americans, but and we make $50 a month income, and we hardly survive on that little money, but we're poor, but that's how we live. In that church in Vietnam, they can say the same thing that we're saying today. And it's this question: is God behind missions? Is that his heart? Is his heart to reach the Vietnamese and the swamps and the mountains, the Cambodians and the Laotians? And is this his heart? And that Vietnamese church reading the Bible would say, yeah, that's God's heart. So we can say to God, above and beyond our monthly income, give me two extra dollars or $10 every month. This is your work. You give me that $10 a month. For us, it might be we say to God, God, give me $50 every month extra in my income, and I will give it to missions. And I will do this by faith. And I ask you, because I believe you are behind this mission, you just want me to live by faith. And I'm going to ask you that you're going to add to my monthly income 100 or 200 or more, whatever the number is, that would be your decision. And it's personal and private. I did this past year, and I missed some, but then I made it up, and I got some money. Somebody give me some money or something. You know how it works. Or I don't have it, and then I just say, Lord, you are behind me. I made a promise at the convention last year that I would support this missionary X number of dollars a month. And that's amazing, because I really take it that way from God. That God, you give me this $50 a month extra, and I give it to that person. So when I would get the money, it would just go through my fingers, and it would go to the person. As you do with your offerings and your tithing, But this is for specifically missions, and it's called Faith Promise. And it's personal and sacred, and it's between you and God. And actually, in our ministry here, we have that going on a lot. There's a lot of money that is supporting missionaries, and many of you are doing that. But I also believe there are others that would like to get involved and say, you know, I think God can use me. And so there'll be a little opportunity for you at that banquet, and we'll do it again at the convention, where you can make a promise for the year and just say, I'm going to believe God for this amount of money, and I'm going to give it to missions, and I'm going to believe that God is going to do this because he is in it. And I mentioned the Vietnamese just because I heard that in those churches sometimes they don't have cash, so the native people will bring a chicken to the church. And they will tithe by bringing one of their 10 chickens. And that kind of lifestyle, you can imagine. But money is universally used by God in every culture, in every people group. And giving is a part of our new life. Giving is in our heart. Generosity is a part of our life. We were having a coffee yesterday at a Panera Bread, and one of our brothers, somebody came up and needed $20, and he said, I'll give you $20. He pulled out his wallet, he gave $20. No questions asked. And I'm like, wow, that is so generous. And I love that. Generosity is our nature. Giving is part of our new life. All right, so that's our word for that. Isn't that good? Okay, so it's something to be thinking about in the next weeks and really bring it before the Lord in your heart. Now we're going to speak this morning about pay attention, the fourth one there. Pay attention. There's a lot to lose. There it is. There's a lot to lose. Pay attention. There's a lot to lose. That is such a heavy-duty subject, isn't it? I want to introduce two people with you. This is Billy and Amber over here. Is that right? Okay. Billy and Amber. Do you want to stand just for a second? I want to talk about you. Actually, this whole message is for you. Okay, Billy and Amber came to the play. And then right after they came to church, and this is what, your second time in church? Is it your second? Give them a hand. They got the courage to come back here twice. Thank you. You may be seated. I didn't say that to embarrass you, but I want everybody to know you, you know. They are new. They got saved in the play. In tears over here in the room. Isn't that amazing? And it's in my mind. It was in Wednesday night's message, and then also today, this morning, to speak to the new believers, to talk to them from our heart about being a new believer and what happens. But many of us are old believers, very old, and crusty. Many of us have been here for decades. And you folks encourage us, and the people like you who are new. I think we had 500 first-time people in our play series, and I don't know, 60 or 70, depends how you count, newborn believers that have come to Christ. And we are after them in a good way, by love. I would like to talk to them about what it is to be a new believer, and also this word to grow. And so we're going to read this text, chapter 2, verse 1. A and we'll probably go to verse, maybe we'll get there to verse 8, but so we'll start from verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. Now, the Billy and Amber, I'm going to be talking about you every once in a while. I'll turn on Billy and Amber. I'll be preaching over Billy and Amber, okay? I hope you can be okay with that. All right. Boy, it's tough to be a new believer coming to greater grace and preaching about you all the time. Malicious, this means badness in quality, the vicious character generally. Malice, it's also wickedness. And we have the idea here that we were at one time bad in different ways. Now, I was in over here the other day at Middle River somewhere going down a road yesterday. And I passed a fire station with some people, a lot of cars. And when I saw it, it was funny. It reminded me of Eastern Europe. And I just looked at it, and I go, oh, man, if I was in Hungary right now, I'd pull over, I'd get out of my car and hand out tracts to everybody. So I pass it, and I'm still thinking about it. I go, well, what difference does it make? I'm in Hungary or I'm in the United States, right? So I drive a few miles, I turn around, I go back, and I go, this is like in Hungary or Czechoslovakia. And so I get out of the car, and I go up to some people having cigarettes there outside the side door, and I ask them what's going on. They say it's a party, a family party, and I go, oh, that's nice, and they're looking at me. What do you want? What are you doing? You look dangerous. Why are you talking to us? And so I pull out my tracts and I just hand them out, and I share the faith. And this woman said she's smoking a cigarette because they had to leave the party to smoke the cigarettes. So she said this would keep me from going to heaven, the cigarette. And I go, oh, no, not according to Matt Hadley. Oh, no. Matt Hadley will tell you straight up. You're not only a smoker, but you're a murderer. You're a liar. You're a thief. So I didn't tell her that part. And she said, I said, oh, no, that would never keep you from heaven. No, the cigarettes. And the other guy smoking, too, he goes, yeah, God made it. God made it. So I didn't want to get into that subject, you know, because we'll go way off and I'd be miscommunicating, you know. But just for you to know, he made poison ivy too, and many other poisons, okay? So, anyway, I didn't say a word when he said that and we're there. And I go, and shared the message. It was beautiful. It was fun. And then drove away. But the woman said, I've had 8 heart attacks this year. I'm sorry, congestive heart failure. There's a difference. But I've had it 8. I've been in intensive care. They thought I was going to die, but here I am. And she, yeah, they thought I was going to die. Okay, so I'm there talking to somebody who's got 1 foot in the grave, right? Wow. This is why your life, Billy and Amber, and everybody like him, when we become a believer in Christ, something happens in our life so that we are able to put aside, in verse 1, all malice and all guile. The guile is this word, unadulterated or pure. It's used for the teaching of the Word of God. also our new nature. And we put, I'm sorry, this is without guile. Guile is the polluted, the hypocrisy. But then without guile means that it's pure and unadulterated. So we have been, and then the next part, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. We are able to put it aside. You see, when you accept Christ into your life, you're born of the Spirit, and you have a new nature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. And we are able to say in our heart, I don't know why exactly, but I am believing. I'm living in faith, and I'm coming to the church like Billy and Amber. And I'm saying, I do not understand exactly what happened and what it means to be born again, but believers around the world have this ability to lay aside what I once was doing, how I once was living, and feed that new nature that we are born of, because sanctification and growth is now a new part of our life. And this is verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. This means the Word of God is without guile. It's very pure. Proverbs 30, verse 5. The Word of God is clean, pure. It is quick. It is living. It is powerful. The Word of God that goes to the spirit of a man and gives him life. The entrance of thy word gives light, understanding to the simple. And it is amazing that we are born into this kingdom and we are able to discern and recognize, like I was not able before, I'm able to hear and recognize words. Verse 2. We desire the pure milk of the word. There we have a word for food, isn't it? Milk is food, but it's a certain kind of food. It's food you don't have to chew. You need teeth to chew, but with a baby it has no teeth, so they drink milk, and it's food that is nourishing their body. And it's the same with Billy and Amber over here. I'm going, is it okay that I do that? Okay. Are they saying, no, please, please. Okay. Hey, listen. They need, and the new believers that came to our play, and everybody that comes in here, anybody that we pray for people, like yesterday, soul winning, like in that little situation, I enjoyed it. I drove away with a good conscience. I thought about that woman who's just maybe going to die sometime soon and prayed for her as I drove away. And I just feel like I'm bumbling, kind of like stammering lips. And they say something and I go, oh, how am I going to answer? What should I say now? And imagine all the knowledge that we have after 40 years, right? And still not knowing what to say. I don't know how to minister to them. I don't know what to say to them. They don't know me. I don't know them. But this is, in my view, a part of our new life of faith. And I know, and you know this with me, I mean, we're saying this together, that God answers prayer. And I can say, Lord, give life to those words. Some whatever, I don't even know what was said that you could give life to. God loves you. That's enough. Would you please save souls and speak to people? Because just like a baby is born in a miraculous sense, so our new birth is miraculous. that God uses words. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, of incorruptible, the Word of God that lives and abides forever. And you were at one time a newborn babe, and you wanted the milk of the Word. The very simple words, the ideas. Does God love me? Is He care for me? Is there such a thing as growth? Now, here's the thing on growth. Number one, you know you're alive and healthy if you are growing. Growth is living things grow. Dead things do not grow. And there is so much dead spirit, dead heart, dead mind. There is so much death, and there is so much deceit and misinformation. There is so much confusion. But when you are born again, you are a newborn babe, and now you desire the milk of the Word, and this will mean you are growing, verse 2, that you may grow thereby. One way to be excited, one way you know that you're alive is because you're excited about your faith. You think, how could I do anything for God? Yes, you can. God wants to use you. You are excited about your faith because you hear God answers prayer. You're excited about your faith because you just kind of believe, wow, if Christ came and He lived and died for me, now being born again, wouldn't God also have something for me in this life that I would be useful? For a newborn babe to grow up eating the milk, one of the things that they have going for them is that they are hungry. Hungry babies crying and screaming in the night. They are alive. Newborn believers are hungry, and they need to be fed, taken care of. And they know now in their new life that there is such a thing as pleasing God, being loved by God, and being accountable to God. This wasn't always the case in their life. Now they're realizing there are things that are wrong that they never knew they were wrong before. And we mentioned some of them Wednesday night, like we said. And we don't want to drive people away, but I just know that from the inside, by the Holy Spirit, people learn. Like we say in India, they believe in reincarnation in Hinduism, and then they become a believer. And we do not preach against reincarnation, but after a month, the Indian pastors have told me they don't believe in it anymore. The Holy Spirit showed them there is no reincarnation. There is not such a thing. It is a lie. And I said to the pastor who was telling this to me, I said, you mean you don't preach about it or teach against it? They said, generally, no. It's the Holy Spirit is teaching them the truth. And I think in our culture, the Holy Spirit can teach people about their sexuality. He can teach them about marriage, about raising a family, about loving their enemy, about living with energy and motivation, about having a vision and caring about people that they never cared for before because they are a babe growing. Verse 3, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, here's the key. God is gracious, has said merciful, covenant love. We taste it. We learn about it. I'll tell you a personal testimony. I was born again at a college campus. And the man that led me to the Lord brought me to a Pentecostal church. And I went there and I was excited, and that church helped me. But they had a teaching where they weren't saying it so clearly this way, but it was that you could lose your salvation. And after about 4 months or so, and I left town, I moved away and went to Maine, and there I went to this church, and Pastor Stevens would say, you cannot lose your salvation, and here are the verses. So I'd study the Bible verses, and I would say, wow, that is, yeah, I have questions. 80 verses looks like you can. 120 verses looks like you can't. So this was a big question. It took a long time for me. But this is the point of the story. When I first got saved, I was so bad that when God saved me, I believed he would never lose me or forsake me. But then when I went to this church, I learned it the other way, that he could leave you, he could forsake you, he could cast you into hell. That is possible. You better be careful, and you better live a holy or godly life. That didn't seem right to me, but I received it, and I was afraid. Eventually, at different moments, different times, I think, ooh, if I really mess up, I'll have to get saved again. If I really violate the Bible, if I really displease God, I need to get saved again. Then when I went to the Greater Grace Church, and we were very much turning the pages back and forth and studying it and understanding what I thought was the case in the beginning, that I was so bad and he saved me. Now being saved, how could he lose me? This is in Romans 5. That I was lost and without him, but now being with him as his child. So verse 3 says, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, or in our context we could say, if you have tasted that your mother, your baby, your mother will get up and feed you all the time. She'll get up in the middle of the night and feed you. In the early morning, she will feed you. She will do it all the time, and she will not stop. And as a newborn believer, you and I need to understand the nature of God who takes care of us, the nature of the God who will never leave us, the nature of the God who will answer our prayer and give to us what we need so we can grow. That grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. That grace teaches us that we can go on in faith, and that it's exciting because God is not a judge looking over my shoulder waiting to nail me, or a policeman looking to find or to bring home the violation of the law. But he is more. He is a loving father who has a sense of justice, but also a lot of mercy and graciousness. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. We are coming to him as a living stone. He was disallowed, but he was chosen of God. And we are coming to him, and we are lively stones. Verse 5, you also as lively stones. What a way to talk about stones, that they are alive. But these stones are alive because they are really people. And people are like stones. It's a great comment or a great analogy. A stone is tough and hard. You can build a building with it. Well, believers seem to be soft and easy and easily misled like sheep. And that is true. But there's something else about us, and that is that we're rock solid. I remember this little line by Sandburg, was it, or Robert Frost. Abraham Lincoln is like the soft drifting fog, and then he is as strong as steel. Abraham Lincoln, soft and merciful, and soft and easy like a drifting fog, but when it was needed, he was as strong as steel. And believers are like this too. We are growing in both ways, that we are very kind. Here's a short list. Number one, humility. When you grow as a believer, you become humble. And the humility is actually increasing. Luke 5:8, Isaiah 6:5, Psalm 22:6, David said, I am a worm. Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of these mercies in 32:10. And Job was very broken in his trial in 40, verse 4. I put my hand on my mouth and I cannot say any more. I have ended my speaking, and now I am before God, and I am humble and broken. The Apostle Paul, as he increased and he grew, the humility also grew. And of course, this is the mark of God, that he is humble. He humbles himself even to behold the heavens and the earth in Psalm 113. And Christ came down, seven downs to the death of the cross with such humility and brokenness and obedience. When you grow as a believer, Billy and Amber, when you grow as believers, all the folks that came to the play, and anybody and everybody around the world, when we grow as a believer, we really do. There is such, well, let's make that point. There is such a thing as growth. That's awesome. It's real. People grow. We actually know it. We feel it. It actually happens. There's actually an increase. There's also growth in, number two, faith. Faith increases. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We have also the growth in abounding in love. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. We are increasing in love. We are increasing in his headship, Colossians 2:19. It's awesome. There's another thing that we grow in, and it is a change in our sense of taste, our sense of appreciation, a change in our discernment, our taste for conversation, our taste for the spirit of a group of people, a taste for art, literature, movies, a change in our taste for what is edifying. And you know how when you taste something a little bit funny or weird, and maybe it's like, you know, yucky, like you little kids are like that? I remember my father saying to my brother didn't like tomatoes. So he said, I don't like the tomatoes. My father said, do you like ketchup? And he goes, yeah, I like ketchup. Well, then eat the tomatoes. I tell you another story, but that's, no, it's wrong. Okay. Hey, little, you know, teenagers and young people, their taste is fine or very selective. And as you grow older, you know, taste buds die off. Nerves, you know, I don't know what happens, but I want hot sauce. Okay, wait a minute. Listen, newborn babe, as a believer, I don't like the same things that I used to like before. I'm like, there's something going on. I have a taste for the fine things. I have a taste for beautiful things. I have a taste for the things that are meaningful. I have a taste to be around edifying people, wise people, edifying people, building up people, encouraging people. We have changed. We become a part of God's new society. Another thing that we grow in is zeal, passion, tears. We love people. Isn't it fun to look at somebody like in the face, and that maybe you don't even know them, but to look at them and love them? We'll be at the airport in a couple hours, and I'm like one of those airport watching type guys who sit in the chair and just watch people and think about people. And you look at them and you love them in your heart. And this is what we do because we are growing. It is an evidence of our new life. And then lastly, how does it happen that you grow? How does it work? Here it is. It's infused in you. It's an infused habit, infused, imparted life. It is God's life. You learn to wait on God and say, God is here. And bring God into everything you do when you are in the car, at the house, at the kitchen table, when you are outside, when you walk down the street. You are waiting on God and you are believing. You are watchful over your conduct in little it matters, and a lot of it is just spontaneous, but you will realize, I don't do that anymore. It's changed. It's been infused. I got it. The Spirit did it. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to hear what God says. I want to make new decisions based on God's Word. I want to have new friendships. Habitual communion with God. Unbroken communion with God. That God is speaking to my heart and loving me, and we are loving Him in return as a newborn babe in the mother's arms. And that relationship is just as beautiful as we could imagine. And it is an unbroken love of mother and child. Wouldn't it be the same for us if we are born again of God and if we are growing in our faith? Wouldn't it be also that we would have, like, we would put away some things and desire other things? And one other thing I think is worth mentioning is praise, thanksgiving. Praise, it's new. We didn't do it before, but we would say in our heart, praise God, with our mouth, praise God. When a truck driver was saying that I said, how do you know your life has changed? He said, I just talk about Jesus to myself in the truck all day long. I just say His name, Jesus. I have Jesus in front of me. I believe Jesus will deliver me. Jesus will help me. He will answer me. And then we are also, one of the evidences of being alive is that it seems like we don't get stuck on the old experiences and the old language and the old expressions and old stories. I think we are interested in the new things and what is going on and what can I do tomorrow and how could God use me next week or tomorrow or use me in my family, and maybe I can bring something fresh and new to the table, the family table, maybe something new and fresh to my son or my daughter or my mom or my old mom or my old elderly parents. Or maybe I can bring something to the church or to my sisters and my brothers and not get stuck in old stuff. Maybe we should wash ourselves clean. When you take a shower and get the old stuff off and live in the new, because we are growing in our faith, growing in wisdom, increasing with the increase of God, Ephesians 4:16. Wednesday night, we had a barn burner of a message. It was a lot of fun Wednesday night. And I would like to say this morning, closing, there are things that I should change in my life. There are things that I should put away. There are things that I should say, no, that's not in me anymore. I might get stuck in it for even a long time as a believer, but it is not helping me. It is not my blessing. There are things, lying or whatever it might be, or cynicism, negativity. There are things that God could show me. I do not know what they are in your life, but I am guessing, and I'm saying things like on Wednesday night. Gambling is one thing we talked about a little bit. And also another good point, a loyal woman. I said to somebody at the RAP, when I go to bed at night, I have no question in my mind about my wife's loyalty to me. My wife is loyal. At all 38 years, she is loyal. I asked her the other night, actually, I said, do you love me? You know, usually it goes the other way. She asks me, right? She should, you know. But in this case, I reversed it. I go, do you love me? And she said, yes, I do. I go, why? And then she just went on doing her cooking or whatever it was. She didn't care about the conversation. I'm there like, why is that? Okay, so, but you know what? I think I said this to her. I go, isn't it amazing? I have never questioned your loyalty. You are so awesome. Thank you. Thank you. That's amazing. Well, listen, here's the thing. It is so sad that is more and more uncommon. It is so sad that men wake up and they have there's a different situation. They didn't know about it. Or a woman wakes up and the man is not the one that she thought he was. Wow, I said, I got my wife in Bible school. And I'd like to say that over the internet right now. You want a good wife? Come to Bible college. Yeah. Yeah, we got awesome ladies here. Man, I think you're unworthy of them, actually, now that I think of it. But, you know, come anyway. Come by faith. God will make you worthy. Hey, there is a title of the message. Pay attention. There's a lot to lose. And here's the closer. Here it is. You and I are born to grow. Billy and Amber, you and I were born to grow. If we don't grow, we've got a lot to lose. If we don't grow, then we'll just live in the world. If we don't grow, we won't make these kind of decisions. If we don't grow, we don't know what'll happen to us. There is a lot to lose in our relationships, in our character, in our rewards in heaven, in going to heaven. I mean, if I don't grow, then am I born again? If I do not grow, then there is a question of even if I am saved. Because living things grow. And when you're born again, you're alive. You're alive unto God, and you're dead unto the world. And when you're alive unto God, and you live that way, and you pay attention and grow in His grace. And come here, this is your church, and we are your pastors and your servants, and we want to help you, and it's an amazing thing to have these lasting relationships and this purpose that we have. And if we don't pay attention, there really is a lot to lose. Okay, would you pray with me? You're here this morning and you are not a believer in Christ. We invite you to come to Him now. Come as you are. Come to Christ today by faith. You are on the internet and you are not a believer, but today is the day for you. Say yes to Him. And please trust Him. And then by his great love, he takes all your sins away. By his blood, your sins are atoned for. By his patience, he will be with you always. By his fatherhood, he will care for you, instruct you. He will send the Spirit into your life, and you will grow and increase in him. And say this prayer, Lord Jesus, I believe. Raise your hand here in the auditorium, anyone at all? Raise your hand, anyone at all? Raise your hand. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Use us, lead us, in Jesus' name, Christ's name. As soul winners, as ministers, in helping people and discipling them, loving them and teaching them and helping them, in Christ's name, amen.